Good morning and welcome to Running on Hometown Alaska. Today's topic is the April 6th municipal election to choose a new mayor for Anchorage. Ballots will be mailed to voters today, March 15th. Now is the time to wrap your head around who you plan to vote for. We hope to help you in two ways. We've assembled a panel of engaged individuals who follow local issues to discuss particular challenges facing the municipality. And we invited the 15 candidates for mayor to answer 10 questions about how they would address city issues. 9 of the candidates responded, and their answers parallel the topics our panel will talk about today. The point of this approach is to offer context upfront for voters who want more information as they prepare to mark their ballots. After our panel discusses an issue, we'll highlight how candidates responded to the same issue. Then after today's program, all the candidates' answers will be posted in full online at alaskapublic.org/2021-running. So let's welcome our guests. We have with us today Bill Popp, who's CEO and president of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning. And full disclosure, Bill is a member of the Alaska Public Media Board of Directors. And we also have Dr. Richard Monsager, a senior fellow from the Rasmussen Foundation. Welcome, Dick.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Very happy to have you both with us. Then I'd also like to welcome Kevin McGee. He is president of the NAACP. There we go. Anchorage president. So welcome, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning. And lastly, I have Ayu Kasatak. She is vice president and indigenous operations director with the First Alaskans Institute. So welcome to you all. We'll be back to give a little bit more on your background since we're going to kind of plug your minds for ideas about Anchorage. But to our listeners, I say your questions and comments are welcome throughout the hour. Due to COVID, our guests are all on the phone, and that has maxed out our phone line into this show. So I'm going to ask you to send your questions by email, and I'll be monitoring the email throughout the show. And if we get comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. These issues are very topical in Anchorage, and you may have thoughts and opinions. The email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And don't forget that the candidates' full answers will be available online through the election at alaskapublic.org/2021/running. All right. We can get started. I do want to say, you know, when we assemble a panel, I especially wanted people who came from different corners of the city, different areas of expertise, different concerns even, just because I thought that would make the conversation most interesting. We looked for sort of social leaders and problem solvers because the point is to help voters think about the issues. They're getting lots of information from candidates, but we're trying to offer them some information from people who aren't actually running for mayor, but have some thoughts about the issues in the city and want, and really we're asking our panel to direct their thoughts to voters. We drew a very clear line between our panelists and candidates. They are not, you know, commenting on candidates' responses. They are not endorsing any candidates. We'll just simply hear from the panel first, and then we'll just quickly run through what candidates have said. And again, I won't read full answers because some candidates send very long answers, but I'm going to highlight them and tell our listeners that their full answers will be online right after today's show. I think we can get started. I said I wanted to talk a little bit about our panel's areas of expertise, so I'm just going to quickly share a little bit about their bio information because they do really bring a lot to the table here. I'll start with Dr. Monsager. He joined the Rasmussen Foundation in July 2018 as a senior fellow. He's an executive on loan to the Anchorage Homeless Leadership Council. He's the son of a missionary and physician, and Dr. Monsager spent much of his youth in West Africa and was inspired to join the U.S. Public Health Service. He became a pediatrician and is a retired Rear Admiral of the U.S. Public Health Service. In 1985, he came to Alaska to lead the Alaska Native Medical Center. Within months, the job had grown to include the building of an entirely new hospital, and in 1997, closing the old one. Among his other roles, he has served as director of the State Division of Public Health, head of the Children's Hospital at Providence, and for 9 years as Providence Alaska Medical Center Chief Executive. A senior fellow, he has been asked to use his significant skills and experience to help Anchorage address homelessness. Out of the office, he likes to read, bike, and go cross-country skiing. Again, you see people bring a whole lifetime of experience to their roles. And so I was thinking of you, Dr. Montsager, both for your emphasis on problem solving, but also your wide array of understanding of healthcare, of social need, and of course, most recently, homelessness. I'm going to move on to Bill Popp. Bill has spent over 47 years in the Alaska private and public sectors as president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation since 2007. He sets the strategic direction in marketing Anchorage and Alaska to companies, critical workforce, and global industries, considering Anchorage as a place in which to do business and assists local businesses looking to expand within Anchorage and Alaska. Prior to joining AEDC, Bill served the Kenai Peninsula as both a public servant and an elected official. He has experience with large national and regional businesses and as a small business owner. He's active in civic, university, and community groups in Anchorage. And to that point, I mentioned earlier that Bill is a member of the Alaska Public Media Board of Directors. Kevin McGee is president of the NAACP in Anchorage, and he has been since 2016, but he has been actively involved since 2012. He's a graduate of the FBI Citizens Academy, served as a member on the Transportation Commission in Anchorage, and I've got to turn the page here. These guys have big bios. He's been a member for the Anchorage Community Police Relations Task Force. He studied business administration when he was a student. And finally, we have Ayu Kasatak. Ayu grew up between Anchorage and Unalakleet and is a tribal citizen of the native village of Unalakleet. She credits her time with her grandparents, Stanton and Irene Kachatak, parents Doug and Vernita Herdman, family and community for the foundation of Inupiaq and Native values that strengthen her work. She's a proud mother of four children and attributes much of her dedication and passion for working toward the strength and well-being of Alaska Native communities to them. Ayu earned her master's in rural development from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and holds a bachelor's in organizational management with a nonprofit emphasis from Alaska Pacific University. Ayu has been with First Alaskans Institute for 10 years and currently serves as vice president and Indigenous operations director. In these roles, she helps to build a strong team that supports First Alaskans' work to amplify the collective strength of the Native community. Ayu helps bring people together to identify community-based solutions that advance healing, awareness, and advocacy around the issues that impact us. I wanted to read those just because I do think of all of our guests as somewhat like think tank members who have a perspective and may not have a perspective of every question we ask them, but they may have thoughts about it, even if they haven't studied it closely. So I am ready to begin with our questions. I'm just going to say to our audience one more time, this is our forum related to the mayor, the election of a new mayor in Anchorage. We have a panel of guests who will discuss issues in Anchorage, and one by one, these issues. We have about five of them on our plate today to see if we can get through. And after each issue, after the panel has chewed it over a little bit, we'll share what the candidates had to say about that and just let you know that the candidates' full answers will be on our website after the show. Our panelists have not seen the candidates' answers. And as I said earlier, we're not trying to endorse a particular candidate. We're just trying to share good thinking before voters head to the ballot. All right, I'm going to start with our first question. I said to our guests we were going to talk about affordable housing because we seem to have a need for it at almost every economic level in Anchorage. It relates to a question we asked the candidates. We said to them, Anchorage has a shortage of housing at multiple income levels. What can you do to mitigate the problem, and how will you influence housing development toward what the city needs? Now, I'm not really asking the candidates to answer that question. I'm asking them to add context to the issue and the ways they think about affordable housing and the value of affordable housing and maybe what it means if we lack affordable housing. So I said to our guests that I would call them by name. They're all on their phones from their offices or homes. We can't see each other. It's hard to have a conversation that way, but we're going to do the best we can. And so I'm going to start by calling them by name. And I'm going to start with Dr. Monsaker. Can you jump in on this question and let me know and let our audience know ways you've interfaced with the issue and thoughts you might have that you think voters should weigh when they consider candidates?
Thank you so much. I've thought a lot about this question because it is such a difficult question. All of the cities in the West are wrestling with this question of affordability, gets into issues of how much do people earn for income. It links to questions about minimum wage. And here in Anchorage, the city has made some initial starts in recent years with the tax deferment abatement for putting housing into the downtown core. I think that this is something the city could and should consider doing in other parts of the city. One of the things I also thought about is that what I'll call our addiction and my own addiction for single homes on big lots just isn't going to work going forward. We need as a community to get used and to like living closer together in denser housing. I really think the mayor has a role to play. It's kind of a cheerleading role a little bit about helping us as a culture and a community to think about what is a livable city here in the north look and feel like? What policies can the city do to help make a multi-use area more walkable? How can we get used to living together at multiple different income levels in a same multi-use kind of community rather than segregating as we have by upper income housing separated from lower income housing? And then the other thing I think, and then I'll stop, about affordability is this incredible problem of if somebody is spending more than 30% of their income on housing, they're at high risk for any crisis to get them into big, big trouble. I've seen recent data just about 4 or 5 years ago. People's risk of bankruptcy climbs quickly if you're spending more than 30% of your income on housing. This 30% marker has been used by the Housing and Urban Development of the Feds for a long time, many decades, and I think it still holds up as a goal to help families to think about budgets, and we as a community then have to think about what do we need to do for subsidies or tax abatement or property tax abatement for developers and owners so that that housing can be more affordable. I could go on and on and on about the linkage of salaries and rent, but I'll stop.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and call another panelist, but I am saying if you have comments, you know, after you hear a panelist speak, we can always have some a little bit of free conversation at the end. But let me just go ahead and I'll ask Kevin McGee. Kevin, what comes to your mind? What do you wish voters would be aware of and thinking about as they consider a new mayor for the city of Anchorage?
I guess first and foremost, you have to want to know what the potential mayor, what the goal is, how to improve the city's environment, and truly bring all people to the table and ask them what are the real needs, because it can't be a guessing game. You have to really know what the needs of the people of the community. I just wanted to regress slightly as far as the housing, the shortage of housing. The biggest drawback that I see is the availability of land to build adequate housing on. So that's as much as I can speak to it as of right now. But as I previously said, the mayor has to sit down at the table with everyone and bring everyone to the table.
Okay, and do you think that there's a available land that just hasn't been made available. I know I've seen reference to some candidates have talked about municipal-owned land that could be freed up. Is that what you're talking about, or you're just talking about that we're out of land?
No, any land that is available and is readily available, if it's municipal land, free it up. If there are private owners, work with them. But you have to have land to build homes on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know there was Dick Monsager talked a lot about our addiction to single-family homes. Are you thinking that this land would be suitable for both single-family homes and multiple-unit housing, or you just sort of want to see more of everything?
No, you can actually have a little bit of everything. You can even have these new homes I've been seeing. They're little homes, what they say. They're single-family, but they might be to accommodate one to two individuals. But we can't afford to let our citizens become put in a position where they're homeless. People can freeze to death here in Anchorage if they're left outside. So we need to find any type of available, reasonable remedy to take care of our citizens.
It does become more urgent with the winter temperatures, and it's pretty formidable if you don't have shelter. Let me go next to IU Kasatak. IU, with the First Alaskans Institute, what are your thoughts about providing adequate housing and affordable housing in Anchorage? Have you been able to wrestle with that much in your work?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. Uvlaloatap. Good morning, everyone. As I was thinking about the issue of housing, I was really centering on understanding that the shortage of housing here in Anchorage doesn't impact all communities equally. So for me, thinking about what the mayor is going to have to wrestle with, it's important to me that they understand that the challenges that we experience in our communities, particularly for people of color, is that there's a historical context that should inform our solution making. When it comes to housing here in Anchorage, there have historically been practices, governmental practices, such as redlining, that shut out peoples of color from opportunities to access home ownership and then, by extension, intergenerational wealth gaining, et cetera. And so you see around Anchorage that there are and there continue to be concentrated areas of poverty, and those are areas that were created through policy. So for me, the mayor has to have a strong understanding of what context created those conditions, understand that these issues don't impact us all equally, and uses an equity approach in order to help right the injustice of the situation. As I was thinking about kind of creative solution making, I was remembering once upon a time I was a case manager for Cook Inlet Housing Authority many years ago, and they had a program called the Tenant-Based Rental Assistance Program. So they understood that Alaska Native peoples generally had a more difficult time accessing the resources and the ability to access home ownership, to start small business, and even to go to school. And so this program helped provide rental assistance to Native families in need, and it incentivized their ability to take over larger portions of their rent as time progressed, as they were meeting different goals. And as the distance between what they were able to pay and what they paid when they first entered the program grew, the difference between those dollar amounts went into an escrow account for them. And over time, as they continued to achieve their goals, that escrow grew. And once they graduated from the program, they were then able to access that in order to put a down payment on a home, go and achieve their education, or start a small business.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, I think is a really creative solution to understanding the inequitable issue in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, IU. And I'm going to go to Bill Popp now. Bill is with the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. I imagine the question of affordable housing is somewhat prominent in what you think about making Anchorage attractive to live in. So go ahead, Bill.
Well, we've got a lot of different issues tied into this that have already been well addressed in many ways by my fellow panelists. But the thing that I'll throw in is that, you know, housing period in Anchorage is incredibly expensive compared to the national average cost of housing. Anchorage already is a very expensive city, and the cost of living index, we're 24% above the national average cost of living, which puts us 21st out of the 269 cities, small, medium, and large, that are in the survey. Just to give you a little context, Seattle is the sixth most expensive at 56% above national average. When you look at housing specifically, Anchorage housing, we are 33rd most expensive. We have been declining in that area, which seems surprising. We used to be in the top 15, but we're now still 33% above the national average cost for housing, which is inclusive of rental properties and single family. In looking at the data, it's single family that is driving the significantly higher average cost. We have been seeing some declines in rent through the recession and now through COVID, and we've also seen an increase in vacancy in our rental sector, which at one, you know, which is now in the 6-7% range. We were in the 1-2% vacancy range not that many years ago, and we could easily go back there if we start to turn our economy around. This is an important issue for attracting people to our community, to work and live in our community, and to become a part of our community. It's also becoming a problem in the flight from our city. With the significant amount of population that we've lost in the last 7 years, we're down 4% from where we were at our record high of 301,000. We're below 290,000 people in our city. And that is a significant challenge in terms of a headwind to the recovery efforts that I'm sure we'll be talking about later. But housing is a very, very important issue for all of our citizens and for having the workforce that we need in our community to attract investment.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it is actually time for us to take a tiny break. So when we come back, I'll read. We have a listener comment that came in by email, and I'll doesn't relate to homelessness, but it's this person's perspective on the mayoral race. So you are listening to Running on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Running on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. And today we are doing what we can to bring our listeners' minds around to the mayoral election. Ballots are getting mailed out today. The voting day is April 6th. 15 people stepped up to run for mayor. 9 of them responded to a questionnaire that we sent out to them, which we will post the answers to their questions. Many issues that are facing the city. We're asking, what do you plan to do about this? So that their answers will be posted at alaskapublic.org/2021-running. And with me today, I have a panel of basically think tank people who think about Anchorage and how the Anchorage and the people who live in it can thrive. And I'd like to just once again welcome our guests. I have Ayu Kasatak from the First Alaskans Institute, Dr. Dick Monsanger from the Rasmussen Foundation, Kevin McGee from NAACP, and Bill Popp from the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. We were just dealing with the affordable housing issue, and we are going to go on to another question. I just wanted, we heard from a listener, Michael Mason. He wanted to share this perspective that he had. He says, I've seen pictures of multiple mayoral candidates hosting in-person fundraisers with no social distancing and no masks in sight. Mike Robbins at a local restaurant and Dave Bronson at a local greenhouse were disregarding public safety at these events. This is extremely disappointing to see a candidate for public office disobeying so executive order related to public health made by that very same office. Okay, so, you know, these are what people are thinking about, and Mike wanted to weigh in and share that perspective with us. We are going to go on to a second question. This I'm going to start with you, Bill, because it's sort of in your wheelhouse, I would say. Economic development, although I think all of you have something to offer here, but I'm going to go ahead and start with Bill. The question we asked the candidates was this. COVID closures, canceled civic and culture events, and the decline of summer tourism have turned Anchorage's downtown into a ghost town. How will you revitalize downtown Anchorage? You know, I actually have to pause here. I realize I did not offer the candidates answers on homelessness, or excuse me, on affordable housing. So let me quickly do that because part of the emphasis of the show is to share the mayoral candidates' thinking. So I'm going to just quickly run through them, making some highlighted points. George Martinez would like to incentivize development and redevelopment to increase mixed use, mixed income, senior-friendly, and affordable housing. He would like to activate the federal opportunity zones to create master development corridors and reorganize the Office of Economic and Community Development to streamline the permitting and review process. Jacob Versteeg would adapt and implement new zoning where appropriate. Joe Westfall would listen to the housing industry and the community councils to determine the best choice to put forth to the assembly. Mike Collins is advancing this 21st century Anchorage vision, which will open up thousands of acres of land for development for housing and allow builders to build the homes we need. Jeff Brown says he wants more pliable planning and zoning rules, and he suggests a quasi-judicial panel to give legal opinions on complaints against decisions by the Planning and Zoning Department and the Board of Zoning Commissioners. And he says the current situation is just, it's not working and it's preventing development. Bill Evans would like to reduce the costs associated with building and permitting bureaucracy. He would stop burdening new developments with the full cost of infrastructure additions and improvements, and he would end reliance on property taxes as the main source of municipal revenue and revise the non-safety-related provisions of Title 21 to eliminate unnecessary housing costs. Heather Herndon would build more affordable housing with a cap on what it can be resold for later. And Bill Falsey says he would make changes in permitting and planning departments to reduce delays. He would consider regulatory changes. He supported tax abatement and the accessory dwelling unit, so those kinds of ideas. A lot of development is being held back by the lack of infrastructure in the city, so he would really emphasize completing road and utility projects. And finally, he would prioritize authorizing reinvestment focus areas that would lead to some investment in neighborhoods that are ripe for increased density and mixed-use development. I'm sorry for that little hiccup, but we did want to share what the candidates were thinking. Now, Bill, I'm going to go ahead and return to this question of kind of the reboot, the economic reboot for Anchorage after we are coming out from under the cloud of COVID. Go ahead and share with us, Bill, some of your thoughts about what the next mayor should be doing and actually how voters might be looking for things in various candidates that would perhaps lead to good things for the economic future of the city.
And we're talking about the revitalization of downtown?
Correct.
Still on that question?
Yes, okay. We are.
Well, downtown is our most valuable real estate in Anchorage from a taxable basis. I mean, there is no part of Anchorage from a revenue generated per square foot for resources to be available to the city than downtown. Nothing comes even close. And what we've seen across the United States in city after city, small, medium, and large, is that when efforts are focused on revitalizing a downtown that is not meeting expectations, it benefits the entire community. You end up with tax revenues. Already downtown is subsidizing government services from Girdwood to Peters Creek, from Muldoon to Spinard and Westside. It touches every part of our community in providing resources for schools, for roads, for infrastructure, for public safety, for community support. And so when we look at our downtown, this has been an issue for many years for AEDC. It is some of the most vital area for reinvestment that we need to focus on in our community just because of the ripple effect that it will have on the rest of the city. It has vertical opportunities for housing in terms of multi-story housing development. Currently in the downtown census district in Anchorage, we have less than 1,000 people living in our downtown census district, which is stunning because in a vital community with a vibrant downtown, you'll see thousands of people, multiple thousands of people living in downtown. And with appropriate policy and focus and support, we can get what we want in terms of mixed income housing in the downtown area that creates walkable community that in our survey work with seniors and with young people and even to a degree with family age adults, that downtown is one of the most desirable areas that people would like to live in if we had these conditions, if we had a walkable setting. We'll never get a grocery store in downtown until we have a larger population in downtown. We'll never get that drugstore that everybody thinks we need because you've got to have a resident population. Our downtown fills up every morning by about 8 o'clock, and it empties out every day at about 6 o'clock, except for the after-hours restaurant and performing arts businesses that are so important to downtown, but do not, you know, create that environment. We have a reason to want to invest in downtown, and these are just some of those important issues that help to benefit the entire community through this kind of redevelopment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Bill. Let's go to Kevin McGee with the NAACP. Kevin, what thoughts do you have about rebooting downtown? Do you think it's important? What ideas do you have? And again, think about voters. What should they be thinking about as they look through the candidate list? So go ahead, Kevin.
Well, the canceled civic and cultural events, that's a part of the life of Anchorage. Without it, I have to agree with Bill is that, you know, these are things that are essential to Anchorage. And that's what helps bring in the tourists to Anchorage and to the state in and of itself. We just got to find a way to lift those that are down right now and help them recover. And subsequently, it would have a positive impact on our downtown area. And once we reopen the civic and cultural events, it brings more people back to Anchorage. There's more to do. And in addition to, as Bill stated, there's the possibility of building homes, or not single family homes, but apartment structures and such. All that becomes a vital opportunity for Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
It brings more people into the community.
Right, signs of life.
It brings in more revenue.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much, Kevin. Let me go to Dick Monsager. What can you offer there? Again, thinking about the voters and what they should think about the economic health of downtown Anchorage and what might need to happen down there. What do you think, Dr. Monsager?
Well, first comment I'd make is that we've lived through this year of COVID, and now as we think about coming out the other side, making the downtown really vibrant again has to be a really high priority for the next mayor. I agree with everything Bill said. It wouldn't surprise people who know me to say I also have been completely supportive of the public health rules we've had in place for the last year. It has kept people safe, but the price we've paid has been, especially in the restaurant and tourism industries, who have taken the biggest hit on the economic side. Now we need to rebuild them too. The building a residential community in addition to a tourist community, I think, is the holy grail for downtown. It needs to be both and. my wife and I are getting to an age where at some point here we're going to want to quit shoveling snow. And my dream is that there's a variety of housing options closer to downtown, you know, livability. That would be, you know, my personal senior housing hope for the future. But we've got a long way to go in terms of both this walkability. Grocery store and drugstores are important in addition to other businesses. And the challenge for the mayor is how to get both at the same time. We need people to be willing to rent or buy close to downtown, and we have to get businesses willing to put grocery stores and Walgreens or some other drugstore. And we need to have them happen at the same time. And to me, that is the big nut that only somebody in the mayor's office with the ability to bring people together around a table like Kevin talked about, is the leverage, and then to think about what on the public policy side could incentivize this. I also wanted to say diversity has to be a priority in this. This can't become a white enclave downtown. It needs to be all of us. The great diversity in Anchorage needs to be represented downtown.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Ayu, what would you add here?
Liana Buck. You know, this issue is one that I'm feeling nervous energy just thinking about it, because anytime we talk about downtown Anchorage, there are social issues that are simmering right below the surface. And to me, it kind of feels like the moose in the room. Mm-hmm. As a Native person. I was speaking with a dear friend of mine last week who was talking about conversations she was leading with community leaders across Anchorage recently, and they were talking about revitalizing downtown Anchorage. And one of the participants kind of offhandedly said, well, if we're going to revitalize downtown Anchorage, we need to deal with the drunk Native problem. And there were, you know, others in the room were kind of like, yeah, we need to talk about that kind of thing. And she was kind of aghast because, you know, it's not surprising that this issue comes up in that way. It's not like any of us don't know that this is a sentiment that many residents feel. However, when it comes to addressing kind of a casual racism that comes up when we talk about these issues, I think that we need a narrative shift in our city. And I would really love a mayor who leans into that, doesn't shy away from it. I'll give an example. There is a meme, many of you guys may have seen it, where there's a plant that's in its little pot and it's kind of wilting over to the side. And it says, if a plant is starting to fail, you don't blame the plant and tell it that it just needs to do better. You try to understand what it is about the soil, the light, the water that is causing it to fail. What is it about the environment that is detrimental to this plant? So in Anchorage, I would love to see a conversation shift that actually questions what is it about our systems and the way that we're currently set up that we are failing some of our residents more than others, right? And then I would push it even further and say that as a city, if we're able to talk about these issues and kind of throw around casual racism like those drunk natives, then we need to also be able to casually speak to all elements of race, including issues of privilege, et cetera. So if we push that a little bit further, how would this situation look different? How could the conversation transform if instead of asking, you know, what's happening with those people kind of per se, what if the conversation was, how would this issue be transformed if we looked at what can we learn from how Anchorage so successfully houses and supports its white residents or its non-Native residents? There's a lot of information that's there that can help us understand how the system is operating. I know that you were talking about economic development, but the social issues are a really big part of this issue. And it's one that, as a city, we do not handle well. Many of you, I'm sure, were following the rhetoric that was happening in our Anchorage Assembly when they were looking at purchasing properties to help house our helpless population. So race issues are a really big problem, and we need to be able to speak to them. And I would love to see a mayor who's has the courage, the gumption, and the leadership to show that they can lean into these conversations in a meaningful way to help actually transform the issues themselves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Very interesting. We have to take a little break right now, and when we come back, I'll briefly run through what candidates are offering in this arena, and then we'll go on to the next question. But right now, you are listening to Running on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Running on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. We have a panel today that consists of Ayu Kasatak, Dr. Dick Monsanger, Kevin McGee, and Bill Popp. And we're trying to chew over some of the challenges that Anchorage faces as voters are getting ready to go to the ballot and to the voting booth and you know, mark their ballots for the next mayor. We have a couple questions we're trying to get through, but let me just share. We were just talking about the economic development of downtown, and I want to just quickly run through what the candidates who responded to our questionnaire had to say about that. Basically, many of them want more residences downtown. I think that was universal. Jeff Brown would, you know, work with anybody, industry, government, enterprise corporations, nonprofit community, to try to promote downtown. He'd like to maximize federal funding for our economy. He wants residences downtown. Bill Evans says that downtown was turning into a ghost town prior to COVID, which was a point Bill made. We've been seeing a drain away from downtown. He would like to focus on business development, reducing bureaucratic obstacles to development, and a willingness to partner with developers and investors to spur economic activity. Heather Herndon responded that she would end mandates. Bill Falsey said that a vibrant, clean, and safe downtown is critical to Anchorage's success. He would make downtown more walkable and active, make sure conditions are right for the return of tourism and a thriving restaurant scene, urge citizens to patronize recovering businesses. He would look for new marketing initiatives for downtown and increase convention center bookings. And he would emphasize placemaking, space activation, and other revitalizing efforts. Forrest Dunbar thinks that Anchorage should be sort of the center of Alaska in many ways, in terms of entertainment, live entertainment, convenient shopping, and award-winning art. He would like to transform 4th Avenue and F Street into a pedestrian promenade. He would like to showcase existing trails, murals, and shops with a better wayfinding system, one that incorporates indigenous places and language to improve the brand of downtown and of Anchorage for visitors. And he also thinks that eyes on the street is really important to downtown, and in that regard, he would like to see more people living downtown. George Martinez, he says that the Anchorage represents the opportunity to connect for all people living in Anchorage and to enjoy and celebrate the city. So he would like vibrant, safe, clean, colorful, and cultural downtown, regular and reliable public transportation to the tourist and hotel loop, a focus on pedestrian and non-motorized vehicle safety, public art mapping, seasonal festivals and marketplaces, recognizing that the arts, culture, and creative economies are a vital pillar of the city's economic engine, and he would like to develop the East Downtown Corridor. Jacob Versteeg would like to have a temporary exemption of the bed tax and some kind of reimbursement to qualifying businesses as a way to incentivize businesses to reduce their rates and invite people for vacations here. Mike Robbins would like to just generate new ideas to solve this problem, but he also sees a world-class waterfront area at the port. So that's what our candidates had to say. I am going to go on to our next question. We touched on a little bit with the economic development with some of Ayu's comments about the social issues in downtown. But we asked our candidates, the homeless crisis in Anchorage is persistent, disturbing, and humanly tragic. How do you plan to help the municipality solve the crisis? I'm going to start with Dr. Monsanger, because I know you've spent some time through the Rasmussen Foundation trying to work on this. Can you lead us off here?
So this, as everybody knows, it's complicated. It gets strong emotions when solutions get floated. We saw last summer what happens when ideas get presented and anger developed in all kinds of ways. As I've thought about homelessness, one of the things I think is so important for all of us to remember is we are one Alaska. We're a big, small town in terms of population. And for urban Anchorage to think that rural issues don't affect them, I think is wrong. The issues for people end up in homelessness as the end of a multitude of pathways is kind of the common endpoint of all kinds of things that can happen to people, whether it's personal trauma, generational trauma, sexual abuse, substance abuse addictions, job loss. One of the things we've sure seen through COVID is job loss has really been a prominent part. So in the ways forward, it has to also be a multifactorial journey back. A vibrant economy is essential. Affordable rents we've already touched on. Treatment for people that have substance abuse addictions is necessary. The city has made a start now with working to add another treatment center to our community. I wish that treatment centers didn't get equated with homelessness, because it's not. Treatment centers affect our neighbors or are available for our neighbors and our kids as well as for people experiencing homelessness. I believe strongly that we need to have distributed emergency shelters with resource hubs to work with people and clients and agencies to move them back to independence and the best life they can have. I don't think we ever want to go back to the mess we had on Third Avenue, where that was the only place in town. And I think we have learned a lot over the last year about how having agencies come to people rather than sending people all over the city can be a big assistance. We need job training. We need job retraining. All of those things are important. And homelessness is not a forever situation. I think one of the things we equate way too often is that the people that have the most severe problems that are panhandling on the corners is not really the face of homelessness, even though that's kind of the image people have in their heads. 80%+ of people, homelessness is a temporary condition. And a hand up makes all the difference in the world. And I believe we're a city of compassion and that we can be that kind of a city. Homelessness doesn't have to keep getting worse, but a vibrant economy is also essential.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to you, Kevin. Kevin McGee from the NAACP.
I have to agree 100% with Dr. Mansanger. If we don't sit down and think of solutions together, it will deprive us of a better community. One thing that was not mentioned, I think, is essential, and it's one of the things that has been caused by COVID, is an increase in mental health issues. So we have to also look for a means to help those in our community with mental health problems. That's a part of what has impacted people in the, you know, homeless crisis has brought on mental health issues, and people don't know which way to turn, where to go, how do they continue their lives. So I have to, like I say, agree 100%, and just piggyback onto that and add services for mental health.
Okay, thank you,
Kathleen.
Yes,
Kathleen,
go ahead.
Can I just add one thing? Because
yes.
Kevin's absolutely right. Mental health services is so key. And I think the community needs to know we are on a journey to a different set of emergency solutions for mental health crises with Crisis Now. The Mental Health Trust is developing. Anchorage is partnering with it. We have piloted through the fire department with mental health crisis response. We have to stop criminalizing mental health crises. It is so unfortunate that it really adversely affects people of color more than anything else. But criminalization just makes every other problem worse. And so the Crisis Now journey that our city is on, I really hope the mayor, new mayor, will support this, because having emergency response be with mental health professionals as the primary response, not police, will make a huge difference in the journey back for people. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Thank you. And let's go to you, Bill.
I think a lot has already been said. I don't know how much more I can add to the fact that all of these are critical issues. All of these are important needs. The fact that we need to help these citizens of our community who are at their rock bottom, absolute worst place in life in many cases, and we have to recognize that, be compassionate of it, and find ways to bring in culturally sensitive and community sensitive strategies that are going to be able to get these citizens back on track to the greatest degree that we can help them.
Mm-hmm. And Ayu, do you have we already anything you want to add, or do you we've been repeating ourselves? Go ahead.
Oh no, I have an idea. So I believe that in the spirit of solution making together, I would love to see the next mayor put some effort into bringing our houseless community together to create more of a think tank, so that the solutions that we are pushing forward are actually coming from within the community that experiences it themselves. So those with lived experience have the most expertise about how these systems are failing them and what supports they need. And I feel like that is a voice that is continually missed. So in the spirit of nothing about us without us, I would love to see our houseless family really be able to come together to be more in the driver's seat about the solutions that we are making for them and then going home to our warm homes. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see more of their voices around the tables in these conversations and them being compensated for their expertise and their ideas.
Okay, that we had not heard that idea until now. You know, I think I'm going to, since we're going to post all of the mayor's answer or mayor candidates' answers on the line, I'm just going to move forward to another question, just because I think we're benefiting so much from hearing each of you talk about these issues. And so I'm going to jump to another question. We probably have about 6 minutes left in the show, maybe 6 or 7 minutes. So maybe target your thinking specifically, but this one is a leadership question, and I thought, you know, can the mayor influence the tone of community dialogue and how? We've made reference to this, some difficult assembly meetings, a lack of civility in our community dialogue. You know, what I'm getting at here is what should voters be thinking about when they think about the next mayor? What kind of qualities do they think it's important for the mayor to set the tone? Let me go ahead and so it's a leadership question. And again, you're sort of advising voters in a way from your perspective. What should they be looking for in a mayor related to the tone of conversation in Anchorage? I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Ayu. Lead us off here.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Well, I mean, we all know and have bore witness to the fact that for the last 9 months or so, our country has really been grappling with issues of systemic and structural racism, in particular focused on issues with the police force, but it's much more broadly, as we know. And the mayor plays an important role in helping to determine how these forces are at play in our community. And so I would love to see a mayor who, in their leadership, really steps into having these important conversations in a way that builds, not tears down. I see too often that there are those in positions of authority that cause harm that are unwilling or unable to speak powerfully to issues that are detrimental, like white supremacy and these kinds of issues. And their inability to learn about and address and deconstruct these issues is a disservice to our community. Anchorage touts itself as being one of the most racially diverse cities in the nation, if not the most. But we're just counting brown bodies. We're not talking about how our leadership does not reflect that diversity. Our curriculum, our policies, our practices, our systems do not reflect the brilliance that's embedded within that diversity. And so I would really love to see a mayor who is unafraid of addressing these issues and helping to change public discourse about them. Mm-hmm. Racism is not a political issue, and yet it has been made to be one. And that is a disservice to all of us, because when we don't talk about these issues, whose comfort are we preserving? It is not peoples of color.
Mm-hmm. Let me just, we probably have about 3 minutes left. Let me go to Dick Monsanger. Can you jump in here, Dick?
So this is, I've listened to this whole last year and have been so surprised about how public health and science got politicized across the Democrat-Republican curriculum. I really hope our next mayor can say and really speak honestly to, I'm mayor of the whole city, we are going to use science, but we are also going to bring lots of voices into the city government, as I just said, and but that we will expect, and the mayor really exhorts all of us to say, we need to be citizens of the city and listen to each other. And anger in assembly meetings is not helpful. It's even detrimental to public policy development and to thinking. And I really hope the mayor can really step into that and say, at this moment in time, we're all in this together. We have to work together. We have to listen to each other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dick. And how about you, Bill Popp?
I think that in addition to everything else that's been said, it's going to be very important for the next mayor to be able to articulate a clear and inclusive vision for how the economy is going to be led by this mayor in many ways. While government doesn't create jobs and government shouldn't be out there necessarily, you know, directly trying to influence winners and losers in the economy, the city administration has a lot to do with creating a level playing field for all citizens of Anchorage and making sure that we have opportunity for everyone and that we are focused on rebuilding our city, because we've got a long way to go. We've lost 18,000 jobs from our community since 2015. 12,000 of those were last year. It's going to be years to recover that loss. It is opportunity that is going to be hard to bring back, and we are going to need a mayor with some vision on this that is going to be able to articulate a direction that the city is going to help to facilitate and attract investment and help us to attract and retain workforce from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm. COVID has taught us one thing. We're all in this together, and you know, we can't let anybody fall by the wayside. But Kevin, let's go to you, and you've got about 30 seconds. Give us your final thoughts on this.
Build a diverse coalition, and don't forget the young adult.
All right. I that's great. I wanted to add another panelist here today. I wanted to have someone 18 to 23 or 24, just to get that perspective. And we didn't have enough phone lines to get you all on. But we are out of time. I want to tell listeners, please go to alaskapublic.org/2021-running, and you can read all the mayor candidates' responses. Thank you so much to Ayu Kasatak from First Alaskans Institute, Dr. Richard Monsanger from the Rasmussen Foundation, Kevin McGee, president of the NAACP, and Bill Popp with the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Next week, Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska will return with co-host Elaine Andrews. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Emmert was our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Running on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.